You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. If you live in the Bay Area and you're a basketball fan, you may recognize this voice.
So I have been blessed in my NBA career to go through a few of these championship celebrations. Seven to be exact.
Steve Kerr is the head coach for the Golden State Warriors. He's an eight-time NBA champion, five times as a player, three times as a coach. Pretty impressive. But for some people, the heroes in Coach Kerr's family are his grandparents. Reporter Sona Avakian has the story.
Please welcome to our KZV community the coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr, and his family.
Last year, in the main hall of the KZV Armenian School on Brotherhood Way, Coach Steve Kerr spoke to an adoring crowd. Basketball fans and non-basketball fans cheered. Everyone there knew his grandparents, Stanley and Elsa Kerr, were the stars of the night. People like me, who are descendants of survivors of the Armenian Genocide, knew the names Stanley and Elsa Kerr before we ever knew the name Steve Kerr.
I found out quickly when I walked in here a couple of hours ago that it's good to be the grandson of Stanley and Elsa Kerr. Particularly if you also happen to be the Warriors coach. And you find yourself in San Francisco in a room full of Armenians. So I lucked out tonight.
Just after World War I, Stanley Kerr, the son of a minister from Pennsylvania, and Elsa Reckman, who was from Ohio, arrived separately in the Middle East. Both were in their early 20s and were horrified by news reports on the Armenian Genocide, in which 1.5 million Armenians were systematically killed by the Ottoman government.
Each one shared this spirit of adventure and recognized what was happening. They had an awareness of what was going on in the world and the atrocities were happening in Turkey and Armenia. And so they joined this relief effort, and that's where they met.
They married in Beirut in 1922. The young couple ran the Nahir Ibrahim Orphanage, caring for thousands of children who had lost or become separated from their families during the Armenian Genocide. And Armenians have been in love with the Kerr family ever since.
There's a huge Armenian population in Los Angeles,
which is where Steve Kerr grew up.
And it seemed like we had just a ton of Armenian friends. So they would frequently end up at our house or vice versa, and we'd barbecues. And I would hear stories from them about my grandparents.
In fact, lots of people heard stories about Steve Kerr's grandparents. One such person was Anahit Kachyan.
My father, Azad Kachyan, was born in 1908 in the city of Trabzon,
a city on the coast of the Black Sea in the country that is today known as Turkey. Then it was the Ottoman Empire, and it was not a safe place for Armenians, a Christian minority. Even in the few decades before World War I, hundreds of thousands of Armenians had been killed in a series of massacres. In 1915, when Anahit's father was a young boy, the Armenian Genocide began. That year, Azad's family tried to escape.
My grandmother kept telling her husband, "We must get out, we must get out. It's looking very, very bad." And he resisted. And then one day, they decided they must go to the coast to leave, only to be told that they could not allow any more Armenians to depart, that the last Armenians left in the morning, and here they were arriving in the afternoon, and they were forbidden from boarding the ship and departing. And from then on, it was chaos.
In that chaos, Azad and his younger sister got separated from their parents and then from each other.
In time, he learned that his father had been shot right in the city and his mother was put on the march.
One of the deportation marches Armenians were put on. They usually ended in camps in the desert of Deir Zor in present-day Syria, where they were left to die. So many perished that as recently as 2002, you could easily find human remains. Azad himself was eventually forced on the march.
That went on till we think 1916-17. He was still on the march. And in time, in the southeastern Turkey, the World War I had ended, and the Americans were coming to help. And in fact, the Red Cross appeared, and my father quickly learned English. And we believe it's the Red Cross that brought the children to Beirut,
where Stanley and Elsa Kerr ran the Nahir Ibrahim Orphanage for Boys outside the city limits.
They were very good to him.
And because Azad spoke English,
the Kerrs would take him into Beirut offices when they had to do some formalities. And they would take him as a translator in case the Arab official was not able to converse logically.
In 1923, a malaria outbreak forced the orphanage to close. Some of the boys, including Azad, moved with the Kerrs closer to the city of Beirut, where he was able to attend high school classes. And when it came time for Azad to further his education,
Dr. Kerr came to him and he said, "What would you like to be studying? You can go to college, American University of Beirut." Dr. Kerr was a chemist, a PhD in chemistry. And my father told him, "I want to be a doctor." And so Dr. Kerr saw to it that he would be on track.
Not long after that, Azad found out both his mother and sister had survived the genocide. Eventually, the three of them were reunited. And thanks to the Kerrs, Azad did become a doctor. He married in 1942, and he and his wife had Anahid and two other daughters and moved to central Syria. And when Anahid was young, the Kerrs came to visit.
In the desert, they came to visit us. And we had no idea. I was maybe 5-6 years old at the time. But my parents were in awe of, my goodness, they'd come all the way here. And my mom cooked and prepared. And so it was very, very special.
The Kerrs, especially Elsa, made an impression on Anahid.
And I remember Mrs. Kerr, how tall she was. And she loved math. She had been a math teacher. And I loved math.
In the late 70s, as a young adult, Anahid was able to meet the Kerrs again. By then, she and her family had immigrated to the States, where her father was a successful doctor in the Midwest. Stanley and Elsa Kerr had retired and settled in Princeton, New Jersey.
And when my father heard Princeton, he said, "Oh, no matter what else you do, you've got to go see the Kerrs." Gave me their phone number, their address, and I did get to go. And I just thanked them. And thank them, and thank them, and thank them.
Last year, Anahid and her husband drove to San Francisco from their home in Colorado to attend that banquet honoring the Kerr family.
I was weeping because here was my family's. I'm in tears, and I want to smile, and I have tears, but there was no question of how profoundly I was affected by, on behalf of the Armenians all around in that room, but I know it's also because of my family that I'm representing. And it was extremely moving for me, extremely. It sends chills today when I think about the reality of it. And Steve put his, just come grab me and just help, help me just stabilize a little bit. He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
I'm proud because everybody in my family, I feel like just wants to help others. And we all do it in our own separate ways. My grandparents saved a generation of children, and I tell Steph Curry to shoot the ball from 30 feet out and make a good shot. And
it's no surprise that Stanley and Elsa Kerr's values, being there for those less fortunate, pass from them to their children and grandchildren.
Just fly! Just fly! Just
The day after George Floyd was killed, Steve Kerr tweeted, "This is murder. Disgusting. Seriously, what the hell is wrong with us?" And in June, when Black Lives Matter marches were in full swing around the world, Steve Kerr went back to Oakland, the former home of the Warriors.
I'm here really for one reason. That's because these last couple weeks especially, but over the past few years, I think there's been a real reckoning for much of America, especially for white America, that we have to reimagine the way black communities are living. And we have to reimagine our support of black communities. Thank you.
100%. It's incumbent on white people to support the movement, because supporting the movement is supporting freedom and anti-racism, which is really, I think, a key to trying to create justice in this country. Where it hasn't existed. And we've had this opportunity to chase our dreams and to live this amazing life and this feel this freedom. And there's part of the phrase white privilege is just being oblivious to the fact that that American dream is not available to everybody.
And that's not a surprising thing for the grandson of Stanley and Elsa Kerr to say. For Cross Currents, I'm Sona Avakian.
Thanks, Sona. Sona was a fellow in our 2019 Audio Academy training program. And a note, in 2016, Stanley and Elsa Kerr were posthumously awarded the Raoul Wallenberg Medal of Freedom for their work helping Armenian children. Mm-hmm.